Throughout the 50 days of Easter, sacred music for the world. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Listen 24/7 to sacred music for the Easter season. LPR, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. There's no doubt that forgiveness stands as a central theme in Holy Scripture, both Old and New Testament. But some Christians will say, look, you're just going too far. I understand that when I sin, I pray, I fold my hands and I pray and I ask God for forgiveness, and I believe that He forgives me for Jesus' sake. And don't get me wrong, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. That should be the daily, hourly habit of every Christian. But they will stop there. And they'll say, look, some people are just going to take this too far. They're going to say that you can absolve someone else of their sins. And it's the same thing as if God were to forgive them. Or maybe a pastor could actually speak those words, I forgive you all your sins. And that we're supposed to believe that that's like God's forgiveness. Is that going too far? It's our series' top three verses. We're going to talk about absolution, that is, the forgiveness of sins. Pastor Brian Wolfmiller joins us on this Monday afternoon. He's pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado, co-host of a weekly radio talk show called Table Talk Radio, host of a video series called Grappling with the Text, a production of Worldview Everlasting TV. Brian, welcome back.
Thank you.
Okay, first of all, before we came on here, Jeff, the producer here, he did a Google search of the word absolution in several modern Bible translations, couldn't find the word in the Bible. Why would we be doing top three verses on a word, on a concept, or a word at least, that isn't in the Bible?
Well, now I know how Jeff does his theology. we got a game we play on Tabletop Radio called Google Theology, and it never turns out well. I think, though, probably the reason why we don't have the word absolve in English is because English is this kind of, you know, mutt language where we get all our words from all the different languages. We get our English translation of the Greek word to forgive, the common Greek word to forgive, mostly from the Anglo-Saxon. The Latin has the absolve, so if we would have gotten our English word from the Latin, we would probably have it. But it just means to absolve, simply means to forgive sins. It means to loose from sins. It means to cleanse, to declare sins forgiven, and to really give that forgiveness of sins. So when we're talking about the absolution, we're really simply talking about the speaking of the promise of the forgiveness of sins.
You start on our top three verses, and you got to start someplace, but you start in Matthew 16. What's in that chapter that makes it one of the top three places for absolution in the Bible?
Well, we have two of these texts are going to come from Matthew, and they're going to really build off of one another. In Matthew 16, we have Jesus taking his disciples way up as far north as Jesus ever went, to Caesarea Philippi. It's in the little kind of kingdom Israel, in the tribe of Dan, and Dan is actually there down the road, and that was the kind of mark of the northern kingdom when the northern kingdom and southern kingdom were separated. But Caesarea Philippi was this pagan town, and we got to go there this summer. It's an amazing sort of thing. There's this kind of cliff that's there, and they have the ruins of all of these temples that would have stood against this cliff. And there's like the goat temple and the temple to Pan and the temple to Augustus Caesar and a couple of other temples. It's almost like an outdoor mall of pagan temples. And then all the way on the end, there's this cave where the spring used to come out, one of the headwaters of the Jordan River. And they called that place the Gates of Hades. Now, it's amazing that Jesus is up there in this particularly pagan region. And he asked his disciples, who do men say that I am? And they give the kind of common responses. Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. But then Jesus turns to his disciples and asks this most important question for them to consider and for us to consider too. Who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answers and gives this beautiful confession. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then here's Jesus' full response to Simon. Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona. Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." And then he commanded the disciples that they should tell no one that he was Christ. And then, in fact, Jesus starts there to tell them that he has to suffer, and that's when Peter stands up and says, "No, Lord, you can't suffer." And Jesus rebukes him and says, "Get behind me, Satan." Now, there's so much in that text. I mean, Jesus, for one, it teaches us that we can't know the truth unless the Father reveals it to us. Peter confessed not from his own wisdom or his own resources, but as a gift from the Heavenly Father. And also, this is one of the two places where Jesus uses the word church. We're going to get to the next one in the next passage. That word church is very rarely used by Jesus. The third thing to note is that the rock that the church is established on is not Peter, like our friends the Catholics would teach, but rather the confession of Peter, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. This is the establishment of the church. But then we get to the point that Jesus is going to now give to Peter and to his church what he says are keys to the kingdom of heaven. And this is the authority to whatever is bound on earth is bound in heaven, and whatever is loosed on earth will be loosed in heaven. And this giving over of the office of the keys is what we're really talking about when we speak of the absolution.
So you've introduced this idea here that we probably need to address. And that is, as I said at the beginning of our conversation, there are many Christians who are perfectly comfortable with the notion, you know, I sin, my conscience upbraids me, and then my best response is to, you know, fold my hands, bow my head, and confess the sin to God, and then I know that I'm forgiven for Christ's sake. And as far as that goes, it's Jim Dandy, but they draw the line there, and they say, look, but you simply cannot buy or cannot stomach this notion that one person could absolve me, someone else could absolve me, as opposed to me just getting my absolution via that prayer there. You've talked about an actual office that Christ gives here.
Yeah, Jesus says to Peter, and we're going to see that this is by extension in the next verse to all the apostles and, in fact, to the church. He gives to them the keys to bind and to loose, so that these keys belong to Jesus. But he hands over these keys to his church. And if Jesus gives the keys to the church, then, first of all, we must know that we need these keys. I mean, we must know that if we're content getting forgiveness in the abstract, that we're content with something that Jesus is not content with. I mean, he wants these keys. He knows that we need these keys. And secondly, we must know that he wants us to exercise these keys. If I hand you the keys to my truck and I say, hey, don't wreck it, I intend for you to drive it. And when Jesus gives these keys to the church, he intends for us to use them. But they're not. It's not our authority. It is the authority of Jesus that's being handed over to us, if we can understand it that way. So that, you know, Todd, if I forgive you, you know, probably in the big scheme of things, it doesn't matter. You need God's forgiveness so that it's precisely the forgiveness of heaven that Jesus has given to be delivered on earth.
Is that why he says, in heaven, on earth?
Yeah, exactly right. Exactly right. So that we know that just as the blood of Jesus stands as the testimony in heaven, in the heavenly council that sets us free, so also his word of forgiveness stands on earth. Here's a picture that I like to use. If you imagine that I just, because of some sort of crime, I get thrown in jail, and there I am in jail, and across the street in the courthouse is the judge who's hearing my case. And for whatever reason, the judge decides that I should be set free. So the judge declares me to be free, to be innocent, the doors of the cell should be opened. But there I am. I mean, the judge has declared it in court, but there I am in prison, still stuck in prison. So the judge, having spoken that declaration, sends the bailiff, who has the keys to my prison, across the street to me, and the bailiff puts the key in the door and opens it and says, "I'm setting you free." And now I get to really leave the prison. I get to go out and be free. So the declaration of our righteousness has been spoken in heaven, and now the Lord is going to send his Christians, his pastors, and his people to loose people, to set them free from their sinfulness on earth. The declaration is dependent upon the judge's declaration, and if the judge doesn't say that I'm free and the bailiff just wanders across the street and lets me go, but the judge hasn't declared me innocent, then I might be walking around, but I'm not really free. It's an invalid freedom. And likewise, if the judge sets me free, but the bailiff goes to play golf, I'm still stuck in the prison. But these two things have to happen. The death of Jesus prevails before God's heavenly throne, and then he sends his messengers to preach that freedom and to loose us, to set us free from our sins.
The next verse, and you say these are kind of to build on each other. We'll deal with on the other side of the break, Matthew 18, where, again, we're back to the issue of forgiveness. Then we'll get to the big one, John 20, with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller. As we continue our series on this Monday afternoon, top three verses, we're talking about the top three verses regarding absolution. Pastor Brian Wolfmiller co-hosts a weekly radio talk show called Table Talk Radio, and he hosts a video series called Grappling with the Text, a production of Worldview Everlasting TV. You will find links to these resources at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand.
The 27th Annual Congress on the Lutheran Confessions, sponsored by the ACL and Luther Academy, is April 6th through the 8th in Bloomington, Minnesota. The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission will present two seminars. On Tuesday, April 5th, Pastor Rob Jarvis offers an overview of the Reformation and our confessions. On Wednesday, April 6th, Pastor Jeremiah Johnson presents Catechesis Begins in the Home, Practical Ways to Pass on the Faith to Our Children. Learn more at theclcc.org.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
For sinners only. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
What would you say if someone asked you to explain the Trinity? Would you begin with Scripture, the creeds, or some clever analogy? And how are Christ and the gospel at the center of this fundamental Christian teaching? Issues, Etc. regular guest Dr. Carl Beckwith has written a new book in the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatic series. It's titled The Holy Trinity. You can save $5 by pre-ordering The Holy Trinity at logia.org, L-O-G-I-A.org.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois is happy to support the Christ-centered, cross-focused ministry of Issues, Etc. Join us for worship, Bible classes, youth ministry, and other opportunities to grow in Christ. We have a Christian day school for children in preschool to eighth grade. We are located at 1300 Beltline Road. Call us at 618-344-3151 or visit www.goodshepherdcollinsville.org.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is our guest. 10 more minutes with him. Our series, Top Three Verses, we're talking about the verses pertaining to absolution in the Bible. The next place you wanted to take us was Matthew 18, related to Matthew 16.
Yeah, Jesus uses almost the exact same words here. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. But with a key difference that we can't see in the English. In the first, in Matthew 16, it was singular. So Jesus was speaking to Peter. But now he's speaking more broadly to the disciples and, in fact, to the church. Now, this is a key argument that our Lutheran fathers would make, is that one of the key claims of the Roman Catholic Church, and, in fact, in some ways their fundamental theological claim, is that the Pope possesses the office of Peter and the keys. And they take that by extension to mean that there is a treasury of merit, they call it, a kind of a store of righteousness in heaven, and that the Pope has the key to dispense this treasury, this merit, this righteousness. Now, the Lutherans would protest the idea of a treasury of merit altogether, and say that look, we don't have a treasury of merit; we have Christ, his obedience, his both active and passive obedience. But furthermore, the idea that the Pope is the one who possesses the keys to unlock this treasury and dispense it to people is unbiblical. Luther, in fact, and I think this is probably the theses of the 95 Theses that really got him in trouble, he says, if the Pope has access to this merit, then why doesn't he give it to people out of love instead of charging him money for it? And that caused, you know, the scuffle that ended up being the Reformation. But here in Matthew 18, Jesus says that whatever you, plural, whatever you all, whatever you as not just one person, but many, bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And in this way, Jesus makes sure that we understand that the office of the keys is not the possession of a singular person or a singular office, but in fact, it is the possession of the church. Like Luther says in the office of the keys, the fifth chief part of the catechism, it's the peculiar authority that Christ gives to his church. Now, the context of Matthew 18 is Jesus is talking about what happens when your brother sins against you. What do you do? And there are really three types of forgiveness that we always talk about in the church. The first is that when we sin against a particular person, or when a particular person sins against us, there should be forgiveness. That should prevail among us in the church. The second is the general forgiveness that we have from God, and this is the kind of thing that we pray for in the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Or Psalm 19, cleanse me from my hidden faults. But there is this third type of repentance and forgiveness that is really what we're talking about here. And that is when there's a particular sin that troubles us, that just is stuck to our conscience like peanut butter stuck to the roof of our mouth, that we just can't get rid of, that sin or those sins that whenever we kneel in church to say the general confession, that is sitting there bouncing around and causing us trouble when we go to bed at night, that when we have sins like that, that the devil is using, then we go to the pastor or to a trusted Christian friend, and we say to them, this is my sin. What are you going to do with it? And then we hear what God has done with it, that it's been died for by Jesus, that it's been forgiven. And this is a way that the forgiveness of sins is applied to us directly and individually for the sake of the comfort of our conscience. It's like pulling out a splinter and bringing that relief to the conscience, like it is, you know, when you pull a splinter out from underneath your fingernail.
And then there's John 20.
This is the best. I mean, this is absolutely fantastic. It's Easter text, and we just had it this last Sunday here, when Jesus appears to his disciples, and he says to them, peace to you, peace, peace, peace. That's always what he's talking, peace, peace, peace. As the Father sent me, so I send you, which is very significant. And then in John chapter 20, verse 22, it says this, and when he had said this to them, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. So Jesus breathes on his disciples and gives them the Holy Spirit, and then sends them out in the world to dispense the Holy Spirit in the forgiving of sins. Now, we haven't talked much about the binding thing. That's what the church is called, excommunication, where the church can declare someone stuck in their sins by manifest unrepentance. But that's always the alien work of the absolution or of the preacher of the gospel. The essential work is here in this forgiveness. And in this forgiveness of sins, the Holy Spirit is brought to the conscience. The Holy Spirit that Jesus calls the Comforter, the Paraclete, the one who is our advocate, who says that, yes, in fact, the blood of Jesus prevails for you before the throne of God forever.
So we have, in this last case, kind of, and, you know, only Jesus can prepare it this way, the unmistakable importance of this. When you die and then rise from the dead and you show up twice that day in various places, and when you have your disciples there behind locked doors, and the first thing that comes out of your mouth is, guys, just as I was sent to forgive sins, I'm sending you to forgive sins. This raises that particular issue, for lack of a better word, to a caliber greater than just about anything. I mean, you don't take that opportunity to talk about trivial matters.
No, that's right. This is the most important thing that Jesus has to give. You know, it's kind of like when Jesus is about to ascend into heaven, and he says, all authority on heaven and earth I give to you. And then he says, now go and baptize and teach. We would think that baptism and teaching is not that big of a deal. But look, Jesus says, this is the biggest of deals. And the same is true here of the absolution. So that Luther can say stuff like, when I urge you to go to confession, I'm just urging you to be a Christian. Or I would walk 1,000 miles gladly to go to hear the absolution. Because the absolution is simply the gospel brought straight to our conscience. I remember as an adult going to the liturgy of a Lutheran church and kind of coming out of evangelicalism, trying to sort all this stuff too. And I remember the first time in the liturgy, and there, you know, this guy up front in a dress saying he forgives me my sins, and I was offended by this. Who are you to forgive sins? I got God to forgive me. I don't need you. And so I asked him after the church service, hey, you know, what's this about? And he did the most wonderful thing. He opened the Bible and he read this verse. And he says, look, this is what Jesus says. If you forgive the sins of any, they're forgiven. Jesus gives it to us. He gives it to the church. And today he gives it to you. Your sins are forgiven. And that's our comfort and our peace. It opens heaven for us. It's beautiful.
Folks, Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is going to be making the biblical case for the end times at the 2016 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. He's going to be joined by Pastor Will Whedon, Adrian Dorr-Hines, Dr. Larry Rash, Dr. Carl Fakencher, Pastor Jonathan Fisk, and Pastor Chris Rosebro. Registration for the conference is $100 and includes meals on Friday night and Saturday afternoon and evening. You can find out more and you can register at issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, June the 10th and Saturday, June 11th in Collinsville, Illinois. Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado, co-host of a weekly radio talk show called Table Talk Radio, and host of a video series called Grappling with the Text, a production of Worldview Everlasting TV. Brian, thank you very much for your time.
You got it.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we're going to discuss apparent contradictions in the Bible on the subject of the resurrection. Dr. Peter Scare will be our guest. We'll continue our series also on pop culture, talking with Pastor Jonathan Fisk about our sports-dominated culture. And then we'll have Pastor Tom Baker lead us in a Sunday school lesson on Jesus sending out the 72 in Luke chapter 10. There's nothing more important. When you rise from the dead, you don't just strike up idle conversation, talk, make small talk. There's no small talk in that room on Easter evening in John chapter 20. It's only big talk, the kind of big talk that only Jesus can do when he breathes on them, gives them his Holy Spirit, sends them with the authority in his name and in his stead to forgive sins of sinners like you and me. And only Jesus can do that. I'm Todd Wilk, and I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Trinity Lutheran, Bridgeton, Missouri. Calvary Lutheran, Elgin, Illinois. Advent Lutheran, Zionsville, Indiana. Redeemer Lutheran, Fort Worth, Texas. Holy Cross Lutheran, Albany, Oregon. St. John's Lutheran, Evanston, Indiana. Mount Calvary Lutheran, San Antonio, Texas. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Boise, Idaho. Village Lutheran, Ladue, Missouri. Emmanuel Lutheran, Osceola, Iowa. St. Paul Lutheran, Clarinda, Iowa. Trinity Lutheran, Lebanon, Missouri. Mount Calvary Lutheran, Excelsior Springs, Missouri. The Lutheran Church of Our Savior, Cupertino, California. Christ Our Savior Lutheran, Freeburg, Illinois, and Peace Lutheran, Neenah, Wisconsin. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget at our website, issuesetc.org. Click support. The Issues Etc. 300.